कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दिस वर्स एंड परपर्ट डिस्क्राइब्स ब्रह्मा सिचुएटिंग हिमसेल्फ इन एक्ट्स अकॉर्डिंग टू रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल्स यमान नियमान। यम मीन्स सेल्फ कंट्रोल and niyama means rules and regulations. So Brahma situated himself in accordance to strict discipline, and therefore according to that he qualified himself for that very exalted position in which he was situated as the creator of the universe, the topmost jivatma in the universe. In the very beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. In other words, if anyone wants to be in any exalted position or aspires for that exalted position, then one has to very strictly follow the appropriate rules and regulations. This was an important element of Vedic culture. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that whenever the kings would want to train their sons to follow in their footsteps and one day become the king, then they would anyone else has any mobile phones. Even in the Vedic times, the kings would train their children, their praja also, in acts of regulative principles. So we see the Daksha Prajapati, although he was a karmakandi, he was not exactly a devotee. He sent his 10,000 sons and subsequently his 1,000 sons to perform austerities under very strict regulations. He didn't think that because they were sons of a king, so therefore they should just enjoy their senses. Similarly, Raja Prachina Barishat, he also sent his 10 sons, the Prachetas, to perform austerities. And they performed very severe austerities under the water for many, many years. Lord Krishna himself set the example. In Dwarka, he would rise early morning with the crowing of the cocks, and then he would begin his daily activities. He would take bath in cool water, then he would offer sacrifices, give in charity to the brahmanas, perform various other rules and regulations that were necessary for him as a grihastha and as a kshatriya. So in other words, anyone who is in any position in life, one must perform rules and regulations. Someone may say, well, I don't aspire to be a king or I don't aspire for any exalted position. But the answer is that you are already in an exalted position because you are in a human body. The human form of life is, in the scheme of this world, a very exalted position. And to qualify oneself for that human body, one must perform various kinds of austerities and follow some degree, some rules and regulations. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Raga Dvesha Vimuktaishu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atma Vashir Vidheyatma Prasadam Adhikachyati. He says that if a person, Vimuktai, he becomes free from Raga or attachment to this world and Dvesha or aversion to this world, then even though he may be situated in the world, Vishayan Indriyesh Charan, his senses are engaged with the sense objects. So in a restricted, limited way, he is enjoying the senses with the sense objects. But Atma Vashyair Vidheyatma, he is following some vidhis, some rules and regulations. as Prabhupada translates it, he is following the regulative principles of freedom. What a wonderful expression. And therefore he is able to be controller of his senses. Atma vashye. Vash means to control. And here atma means the senses. Prasadam adhikachyati. Therefore he qualifies himself to obtain the mercy of the Lord. So this is an interesting point here, that if you really want to be free, then we have to learn to restrict our freedom. By curtailing our freedom now, we can actually understand what is real freedom on the spiritual platform. Because so-called freedom on the spiritual, on the material platform, only leads to more bondage. Whereas following the rules and regulations according to the scripture actually leads one to the platform of complete freedom under the shelter of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And therefore one obtains the mercy of the Lord. Prasadam adhikachyati. Srila Prabhupada explains that mercy means that the devotee is convinced that he or she must act only for the satisfaction of the Lord and only according to the instructions of the Lord, not for one's own satisfaction. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that such a devotee may be willing to do anything and everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, even if that thing seems to be very undesirable to that devotee. On the other hand, such a devotee may avoid doing something if that is the order of the Lord, even if in ordinary circumstances the devotee would have done that. And this is the mercy of the Lord upon him. This conviction, this mentality, this attitude is the mercy of the Lord upon him. So this devotional attitude whereby one simply works for the pleasure of the Lord, that is obtained only by the mercy of Krishna. It's not an ordinary thing. And that comes when one tries to submit oneself to the rules and regulations that come, vidheyatma, in the scriptures. Prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyopajayate prasanna chetaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtate. Lord Krishna says further, Prasade, now that he has obtained the mercy of the Lord, what happens? Sarvadukhanam hanihi asya upajayate. All the miseries, sarvadukhanam hanihi, become destroyed. Asya upajayate. Prasanna cheta. One becomes very, very joyful. Prasanna cheta. Ashu. Ashu means very quickly. When one obtains the mercy of the Lord, becoming a vidhiryatma, following the regulative principles of freedom, and very quickly one becomes joyful, blissful in spiritual life. Buddhihi pari avatishtate. One's intelligence becomes very fixed and stable on the spiritual platform. In this way, anyone who seeks his own welfare should actually learn to follow these regulative principles of freedom. Of course, in the Vedic scriptures one finds a variety of rules and regulations, all for different purposes. And especially when it comes to the platform of Karma Kanda, where one performs certain rules and regulations, or follows them just to get some material benefits. Lord Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Yadate moha kalilam. Buddhir vyatitarishyati gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. Lord Krishna explains that when one actually follows the principles of devotional service and comes to a higher platform, then tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutavyasya. One comes to the platform where one rejects all the things that are to be seen and heard in the Vedic literatures, all the rules and regulations that apply there for Karma Kanda. Such a devotee is no longer concerned with that. Why? Because he has got out of the dense forest of illusion. Yadate moha kalilam. Kalilam means forest. moham is illusion. And he becomes vyatitarishyati. Tarishyati means to cross over. Buddhihi vyatitarishyati. So he crosses over this dense forest of illusion because he is now situated on the transcendental platform. In other words, for one who is a devotee of the Lord, one need not worry about the rules and regulations of karmakanda, because one doesn't desire any fruitive benefits within this world. In that very purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes a very nice verse from Madhavendra Puri, which demonstrates that a person situated on the transcendental platform has no further interest for the rules and regulations that pertain to the lower platform of fruitive enjoyment. Sandhya vandanam bhadramastu bhavato bhosnanatu bhyo namaha. He says, oh Sandhya vandana, you know, as Brahmanas, one does three times prayers at the three Sandhyas, at dawn, at midday, and also at sunset. So one chants the Gayatri mantras and so on. So for a Brahmana, these are considered very important parts of his daily regulative principles. So Madhavendra Puri is saying, Sandhya Vandanam Bhadramastu Bhavato. All glories to you, Sandhya Vandanam. But I have no time for you, I'm sorry. Bhosnana Tubhyo Namaha. Oh my dear, bathing. Because one is supposed to be, as an Arya, one is supposed to bathe at regular intervals and so on. And without bathing, one cannot do this, one cannot do that. All glories to you. I offer my obeisances to you, O bathing, three times a day. Bho devah pitarascha tarpana vidhau naham kshamah kshamyatam. O my dear demigods, O my dear forefathers, please forgive me because I am unable to offer respects to you. I cannot anymore offer tarpana, oblations of water to satisfy the forefathers. I cannot offer oblations into the sacrificial fires to please the demigods. I can't do all these things. Yatra kvapi nishadya kansad vishaha yadava kulottamasya smam smaram akham harami kim alam manye. This is all enough for me. I don't need anything else because I'm smaram smaram. I'm always remembering him who is the great descendant of the dynasty of King Yadu, Yadava Kulottamasya, and Kansa Dvishaha, he who is the enemy of Kansa. And I think this is sufficient for me. Kim Anyena Me, what do I need anything else for? So a person who is situated on the devotional platform doesn't need to worry about sinful activities committed, even unknowingly. Because automatically the act of performing devotional service purifies one of all these sinful activities. In Karmakanda there is a question of prayaschitta. There is a question of atonement. Because one is constantly performing sinful activities in this world, knowingly or unknowingly, so then one has to perform these acts of atonement in order to purify oneself and protect oneself from the sinful reactions that may come. But for a devotee like Madhavendra Puri, he says, I have no such need. I'm sorry, I don't want to do these things. All these various rules and regulations are not for me, because I am simply remembering Lord Krishna. In the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is responding to Uddhava's inquiries about sin and piety. And Krishna has said that from a transcendental viewpoint, both sin and piety are one and the same. There is no difference. And Uddhava wants to know how this is so. And Uddhava says that descriptions of sin and piety are not concocted. They are there in the Vedic literatures. And these literatures, my dear Krishna, have been prepared by you. So now, if you say that sin and piety, there is no difference, then this becomes very confusing. Prabhupada explains in the purport that yes, it is true that the Vedic literatures are full of description of sin and piety, But also Krishna has described that one should transcend sinful piety and come to the transcendental platform. That is also part of the Vedic teachings. So one should consider that also. One shouldn't consider simply that there is a question of sin and piety. Then Krishna goes on to explain to Uddhava that for the betterment of the whole world, in order that everyone may attain perfection in life, I have delineated three paths to perfection. The path of knowledge, the path of work, and the path of devotion. He says these three paths are standard paths which are authorized in the scriptures, and there is no other authorized path. He explains that those who are frustrated, nirvinnanam jnana yogo, those who are nirvinna means disgusted with what? With material life. Those people who are disgusted with material life and who are no longer therefore attached to fruitive activity, for them there is the path of knowledge, the jnana yoga, the path of speculative philosophy, trying to understand the absolute truth by the process of speculation and eventually to attain the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And for those who are not so much averse to the material world, karma yogastu kaminam, for them, for the kaminam, for those who are still desirous of material enjoyment in this world, there is a path of karma yoga, where because they're attached to sense enjoyment, so there is some liberty given to them to act, but they offer the fruits of their activity to Krishna. In this way, they are following some rules and regulations, but nevertheless, their purpose is enjoyment, dharma artha kama, not moksha. Those who want to follow moksha, the path of liberation, they are the jnana yogis. And those who follow the path of religiosity, followed by economic development and sense gratification, they are the karma yogis. Following the principle of yajñārthāt karmaṇo anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅghaḥ samācara. That all activities have to be performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, otherwise they become a source of bondage. So in this way, Lord Krishna said, these are the two of the three paths. The jnanis, they are disgusted with material life, they are no longer interested in fruitive activity, so therefore they give up this world and they try to obtain the impersonal Brahman. On the other hand, there are those who are somewhat attached to this world, they want to enjoy the fruits of their activities, and therefore they take shelter of the process of offering the fruits of those activities to Krishna and then go on with their enjoyment, regulated enjoyment. As opposed to these two, one who are averse and one who are attached, there is one, the third category, who are neither averse nor attached. And these are the devotees. They follow the path of devotion. So Krishna says, by some stroke of good fortune, if somehow or other one becomes attached to the path of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then one rises beyond this platform of being disgusted with the world or being attached to the world for one's own satisfaction. One now only wants to hear and chant about Krishna. And in this position, neither is one critical of the way the world is, nor is one attached to exploiting the world for one's own resources, for one's own enjoyment. So Krishna gives this very wonderful analysis in his Uddhav Gita, and then eventually he says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shavanadova shraddha yahu na jayate. Till such time as one has not aroused within oneself mat katha shavanadova, attachment for hearing and chanting mat katha, Krishna says, the glories of Krishna, and one has not become aloof from fruitive activity, tavat karmani kurvita, one should not neglect the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. In other words, till such time as one has become fixed in Krishna consciousness, one has developed firm faith in the process of bhakti, one has developed so much taste in hearing and chanting about Krishna, that one doesn't have any taste for fruitive activity, till such time one should not neglect the rules and regulative principles according to the Vedas. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janyatya Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Tayat Ahitukam. In this verse of the Bhagavatam, it is explained that when one develops bhakti, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah, when one develops devotional service to Lord Vasudev or Lord Krishna, Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, come automatically. The acharyas explain that just as when there is a mother and the two little children follow behind her every time wherever she goes, similarly bhakti is the mother, and jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, are like the offspring of bhakti. In other words, for a devotee there is no need to artificially try for jnana and vairagya, because they automatically, spontaneously come when one discharges devotional service. So the Vaishnava acharyas explain that unless one is situated on this platform, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah, unless one is on this platform, one should not neglect the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And if one does so, Krishna explains elsewhere also, that one will consider, he will consider one to be an offender and one who is disobeying his orders. One is not a Vaishnava, Krishna says elsewhere. So one should not take the rules and regulations of the scriptures very lightly. So devotees are very discriminating. Devotees select only those rules and regulations amongst that are given in the scriptures that are conducive to one's Krishna consciousness. Not that they are whimsical in accepting or rejecting rules and regulations. Smartavya Sattam Vishnur Vismartavyo Najatuchit Sarve Vidhi Nishedasyur Etayor Eva Kinkaraha. The Puranas say that one should always remember Krishna. Smartavya Satatam Vishnuho. Satat, always. Smartavya, one should remember. Vismartavyo Najatuchit. One should never forget Vishnu or Krishna. Sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkara. There is vidhi and there is nishedha. Vidhi means a rule and nishedha means a prohibition. For every rule there is a prohibition. There is a corresponding prohibition. So the rule is always remember Krishna, the vidhi. And the prohibition is that corresponds to that, never forget Krishna. So both things go together. The vidhi and the nishedh, the rule and the prohibition go together. And within this one rule and within this one prohibition are contained all the other rules and regulations of the scriptures. In other words, if someone is very sincerely striving for always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, then one is actually in effect following all the rules and regulations of the scriptures. At that stage, of course, one is not obliged to follow so many other miscellaneous rules and regulations. Those who try to neglect rules and regulations do so because their intelligence is not yet purified. An impure mind cannot understand one's own position. What a dangerous and troublesome situation we are in this world. This material world is full of misery, full of danger at every step. And the body is simply a source of misery. Because of impure intelligence, one somehow tends to think that this body can still be a source of happiness. King Kulushekhar in the Mukkumala Stotra has this very wonderful prayer which Bhakti Vinod Thakur also quotes in his Sanmodhan Bhashya. Bhakti Vinod Thakur speaks a lot on this verse. Idam shariram shatasandhi jarjaram patatyavashyam parinama peshalam kim oshadhim moodha kim oshadhim prichasi moodha durumate niramayam krishna rasayanam piva. King Kulushekhar is reprimanding, admonishing the materialistic people of this world, and he says, moodha durumate, O foolish person, what for are you keeping on taking medicines to cure your body? Take this medicine, this tonic, this rasayana of Krishna. Krishna rasayanam piba. Drink this nectar and that will protect you from all diseases. If you think that simply by taking all kinds of pills and capsules you're going to cure yourself, you are mistaken. For the real ultimate disease, the ultimate medicine is Krishna Rasayana. So immerse yourself in the devotional service of the Lord by understanding the reality of your situation. What is the reality of your situation? Idam shariram shatasandhi jarjaram. That this body, in course of time in old age, it will get stiffened, the joints will get stiffened with old age. Parinama peshalam, the beauty of this body is fleeting. The beauty will be destroyed in course of time. Patatyavashyam, death is certain, destruction for the body is certain. So therefore, now take Krishna Rasayanam. Don't take all these other medicines. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't take medicines, but the point is that we understand that the ultimate medicine is Krishna Rasayanam. At the same time, another understanding of this, kim aushadhim prichasi, why are you taking this medicine, or what medicine are you taking, is that King Kulushekhar is asking the people of this world, now this is your condition, this is your predicament in life, what are you doing about it? What remedy are you looking for? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidur learns about the battle of Kurukshetra being over, he decides to come back. He returns to Hastinapur. The Pandavas are very overjoyed to see him. They welcome him with sweet words and great affection. Vidur, however, has nothing more to do with these family ties and with all this affection. And he has come here only for one purpose, and that is to deliver his brother Dhritarashtra. So he immediately goes to Dhritarashtra and he really admonishes him, he reprimands him very strictly and says, my dear king, just look at you. You are so fear stricken. No one can escape from fear in this world. Now, in old age, fear personified as Kal, as time, has approached. No one can be saved from the ravages of time. In course of time, everything is taken away from everyone. Now your sons are gone, your family members are gone. But still you are so attached to this situation that you want to stay in the house of them, of those whom you have tried to destroy, and whose wife and daughter you have tried to disrobe. You are staying here just like a dog and taking crumbs of bread from Bhima. And just look at your condition. You were born blind and now you have become hard of hearing. You are coughing up mucus. Your joints have got stiffened. Your teeth are all loose and falling out. Your body is about to be destroyed, but still you are here attached to your position. So leave immediately. What are you doing about this situation? Come on, come with me. Leave. And then Vidur took Dhritarashtra and Gandhari out into the Himalayas, and Dhritarashtra ultimately attained the perfection of life. In other words, When one understands and contemplates upon one's situation, a position in this world, then one will come to the conclusion that one must take shelter of Krishna. One must do something about it. One must kim aushadhim prichasi. What remedial measure are we taking? And that is the process that we are given to start with of sadhana bhakti. The process of sadhana bhakti involves following a certain discipline to attain pure love of God. Narad Muni defines sadhana bhakti in the Srimad Bhagavatam as yena kena prakarena manah krishna niveshayet. That by any means, by hook or by crook, one should always remember Krishna. Sadhana bhakti has two parts. The first part is vaidhi bhakti, where one is supposed to follow rules and regulations out of obedience. There is no question of refusal. One follows the instructions of Guru Sadhu Shastra. One may not have any taste for those rules and regulations, but nevertheless, very obediently, without refusing, one follows them. And gradually as one advances, one comes to the path of Raganuga Bhakti, where one performs those rules, follows those rules and regulations, but with spontaneous devotion. One doesn't have to be asked to do it. So by slowly following these rules and regulations, one comes to a higher and higher platform of love of God, eventually. From Raganuga Bhakti, which is still in the stage of Sadhana Bhakti, one comes to the stage of Bhava Bhakti. From Bhava Bhakti, one comes to the stage of Prema Bhakti. In this way, one attains perfection of life. And even after attaining these higher stages, it is not that one gives up the rules and regulations of Bhakti. And this is demonstrated by our Acharyas. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. The six Goswamis, they would always follow the rules and regulations very strictly. Sankhya Purvaka, they would count everything. They would circumambulate Govardhan or Vrindavan a prescribed number of times. They would chant on their beads a prescribed number of times. They would offer obeisances to others a prescribed number of times. They were very strict. Raghunath Das Goswami's sadhana was said to be like a line in stone, Pashanira Rekha. He was so strict about his rules and regulations. When Mahaprabhu came to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was very old, and he was lying down, unable to even get up, Mahaprabhu told him, "Now Haridas, you have already achieved the perfection of following all the rules and regulations. Now you don't have to do this anymore. So you take it easy." Haridas Thakur refused. He said, "There is no problem with my body, the only problem is with my mind, that I cannot think of Krishna. That is my only disease." In other words, even when one attains higher and higher platforms on the path of devotion, one does not give up these regulative principles. In fact, yajna, dana and tapa should never be given up by anyone. That's Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Yajna is sacrifice, dana is charity, and tapa is austerity. So these three things are never to be given up. On the path of devotion, yajna means the chanting of the holy names. Nama Sankirtana Yajna. Dana or the charity means to give Krishna consciousness to others. And tapa means austerity. Austerity means to perform all those things that are conducive to the development of our Krishna consciousness, whether or not we like those things. So such rules and regulations are necessary for us in this conditioned state of life to lift us to the higher platform, buddhir vyatitarishyati, to go beyond to the transcendental platform. Brahma, being the most intelligent being in this creation, is very obedient to his guru. He is not argumentative. And therefore, he gets a very good disciple like Narad Muni, who is also very meek, submissive, humble and obedient. Brahma is very strictly following the regulative principles that he has learned from his guru, the Supreme Lord. very faithfully he executes the orders that he has received. And that is why Brahma is so exalted. Brahma has qualified himself for that position by his complete and utter obedience to his superiors. This is devotion. This is the path of devotional service. In fact, this is the path of human civilization. Human civilization will not remain human civilization until there is the culture of obedience to one's superiors. And if the superiors are properly situated on the path of dharma, then naturally this becomes a very wonderful situation where the ultimate goal of life can be achieved. So Brahma is the main acharya of our sampradaya, and he is setting the example for us. And therefore Prabhupada concludes this purport by saying, "The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma, and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves." So Brahma is a real acharya. Acharya means one whose acharan or behavior is perfect, who acts according to his speech, who practices what he preaches. So Brahma, as the ideal acharya, has now commenced his austerities further, his following of the rules and regulations to enable him to fulfill the purpose of the Lord. Okay, so we'll stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Yes. Yes, please.
Follow superiors and strictly follow the rules and regulations is for the pleasure of Krishna, ultimately, right? This is the impetus, yes. The motivating factor.
Yes, yes. Even the superiors must be following those things that are pleasing to Krishna. But even if those superiors are not devotees, still one should offer respect to them. Even if one doesn't follow them, one should offer respect to them.
Devamrita Prabhu, thank you for class. My question is, which can be, for this age, present age, today age, accordingly behavior in the moments of getting very old body, let's say Dhritarashtra's example and his wife Gandhari and all other wives of saintly kings who very eagerly stepped in the sacrificial fire of their husbands. So, but what we can do in this age if really our body comes very, very old?
Yeah, we're all one day going to come to that state, isn't it? Where we're unable to follow the rules and regulations as strictly. But of course, ultimately we should know that Krishna is very merciful. And if we are very sincere in our efforts, then automatically Krishna will do the needful. He will do the rest. So even if you find that in old age you are unable to do the things you did in young age, naturally that's going to happen. And if we have been very sincerely practicing our Krishna consciousness in all our life, then Krishna will take that into account. Krishna is very merciful. He will facilitate our devotion and our service. There are so many instances when the Lord has reciprocated with the feelings of the devotees and their bodily situation. There are so many instances where the deity has actually, you know, come down in size because the devotee cannot rise up and dress the deity. So Krishna comes and helps in so many ways. Therefore, all the more necessary that everyone should prepare for that eventual stage of difficulty where the body will not cooperate in following so many rules and regulations. Yes, last question. Yes.
Somebody is saying that Yamuna River, last moments of life offered to Yamuna River is very, very auspicious. Is it covered with the literature or not? To offer life to the Yamuna.
To offer one's life?
Yes.
You mean to give up life?
To give up, yes.
To
commit
suicide.
Yamuna, let's say, is it suicidary or it is covered with the scripture as, let's say, sacrifice? Useful sacrifice.
Prabhupada never advocated such things. One should rather just continue preaching the glories of Yamuna Devi and Vrindavan to everyone rather than giving up one's life in that way. One gives up one's life to Yamuna Devi by preaching her glories, by worshipping her, serving her, not by giving up the life by killing oneself in Yamuna.
I was just thinking, the last couple of lectures, two, three times was mentioned that Lord Brahma was seeing Lord Krishna as a cowherd boy when he got his instructions. So today we were glorifying Brahma as a very intelligent being, the most intelligent being, as the main acharya in our line. So how it is that later on Brahma actually... stole the cowherd boys and kind of got that much kind of adverse outwardly towards the Lord. So maybe it's it came in my mind, so I wanted to ask it.
You see, these are all the question is that we've been hearing in the earlier classes also about Brahma's fortune of having personal audience with the Lord, and how he was so exalted. And here also we hear descriptions about that. He situated himself in fixed devotion service, following rules and regulations very strictly. Then how is it that much later he actually came under illusion and stole the cowherd boys of Krishna in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, right? Actually, these are all the workings of Yoga Maya. These are not ordinary activities involving ordinary souls. Because the descriptions of the Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Brahma that we are reading now pertain to a long, long time ago. And Krishna has come just 5,000 years ago on this earth planet for delivering the people of this earth. So therefore, generally, this is too far back in time for people to understand and appreciate. So Brahma has to come here to this earth planet, and the devotees have to understand what is Krishna by getting... So the Yoga Maya has to get Brahma to participate in this pastime so that the glories of Krishna can be broadcasted everywhere. So everyone can understand who is Krishna, what is Krishna, and how wonderful and nectarian are Krishna's pastimes. Also, Kavi Karnapur in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu said, actually, Brahmaji also wanted to understand more of the glories of Krishna. So it is not that he was completely bewildered, but he really wanted to know more. He wanted to understand Krishna more and more and wanted to see more and more of his glories. So he engineered also this pastime. So in this way, our appreciation for the Supreme Lord and his pastimes increases more. So these are all workings on the spiritual platform. It is not to be considered ordinary forgetfulness. Okay, so we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.